Hallelujah. We are going to talk about what's your next level. What's your next level? The Lord put this on my heart about a month ago or so, maybe 6 weeks ago. He dropped this little thought in there about we're all going somewhere. What's your next level? Think about this for a second. Are you going up or are you going down? Have you ever been in an elevator with an elevator person in there that works the elevator? Back in when we lived in Los Angeles, there were these old buildings and you had to have an elevator operator. And the elevator operator, you get in and they take you up to your floor. I think it's because the elevator didn't automatically stop or at the right place. They had like make sure it stopped at the whatever. And of course, the old joke was always somebody get in and say to the elevator operator, "Well, I guess you have your ups and downs." And of course, the slide and shrewd elevator operator would say, "Well, it's not the ups and downs that get to me, it's the jerks." So anyway, are you going up or are you going down? Where's the next level of your life? Are you going up or are you going down? Are you going forward or are you going backward? This is really important. Are you going forward and backward? Hey, let this sink in. Are you heading somewhere good? Or are you still entangled with the past and you're not going to, are you about to turn around and head? You know some good people in the Bible that headed in the right place was like Abraham. God said, "Look at all the stars, Abraham. Look at all the sand. You're going to have more kids and all that." That's phenomenal. So he'd look up in the stars and he had somewhere where he was going because he had something to look at that was of the promise of the Lord. And it gave him faith over the seasons of his life. Moses showed up one day and there was a burning bush. And the bush wouldn't burn up. And it was an encounter with God. And he said, "Take off your sandals. This is holy ground." And Moses took off the sandals. And here he's worshiping God at a bush that won't burn up. You know, so it's really interesting. But he gets his marching orders. He has an encounter. And he goes forward from there. He goes forward. He goes up. He goes according to God's purpose. How many of you remember Lot's wife? Lot's wife turned around and headed back the other way. Somewhere over in the Middle East is a pillar of salt because she did not follow through with going forward in her life. She turned around and it ended there. There was also a fellow named Demas. Demas in the Bible is a fellow that's not really well known. His name is Demas and it means popular in the Greek. And Demas actually has a couple of phrases in the Bible that talk about Demas. One of them is he was a part of Paul's apostolic team. And he said, "Hey, bring Demas." And, you know, Demas is with me and Luke and whatever. Later on it says, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." Demas turned around and he went the wrong way. His love for the world got bigger in his heart than his love for the Lord. And he lost out on his destiny in Christ. Where are you today? Where are you going? Are you going up or are you going down? Are you going forward or are you going backward? We have a scripture that says, where there is no prophetic vision, people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. Where there is no prophetic vision, people cast off restraint. What is prophetic vision? It's the whisper of God in your heart that says, this is the intended purpose I have for your life. It's the hope that, it's the thing that you know, this is what I can be and that's what I can be about. But without that, you go, well, who cares? You know, you throw off whatever. You don't have no discipline, no desire. You just go ahead and do whatever. And when you do the whatever, you end up in jail sometimes. Well, there's no prophetic vision. People cast off restraint. They have no sense of discipline. But he who keeps... But blessed is he who keeps the law. What's that mean? There's another verse that clarifies this in the book of James. It says, when you gaze into the perfect law of liberty, as in looking in a mirror, you see who you're intended to be. When you crack open the Word of God and you look and you see all that God has intended you to be, then you don't live out of the woundedness of your past. You live out of the new person that Christ Jesus has made you to be. And there's something dynamic and powerful about that. In fact, let's take it up a notch to 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, it says, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. One degree of glory to the next degree of glory. There's a level. What's your next level? What is the next degree of glory God wants to reveal through your life? You know what a man fully alive is? A man fully alive is a person who's living in the purpose God has made him to live in. And God has sent us downtown to be a place where you're unshackled from the things. You're cleansed from the places. You're healed from the wounds. You get those things. You get liberty from the area that held you back. And you go from one degree. Hey, look, you can be all covered up in all kinds of mud and mire, but there's a level of glory in you when you've opened your heart to Jesus. And Jesus has that. He wants to manifest that. Tell somebody, it's an inside job. It's an inside job. And it's always an inside job. There are things that can change on the outside, but it's really the inside job that gets you along in life. The wise man always asks for help. What can I do to be better? How can I learn? How can I grow? The fool is opposite. The fool says, it's your fault that I'm this way. The fool never takes responsibility for his own actions. He's always blaming somebody else. But a wise man will say, what can I do? How can I come before the Lord? What can I have God show me that I can act on? That's the difference. And there's one level of glory. It says we're transformed. There's something. Why in the world do we worship Jesus when we come to church? I want to tell you. First of all, I want to let you know something as your pastor. You look a lot better after you've worshiped. You come in one way, and Lord willing, you'll leave another. You won't look the same. Why is that? Because praise is becoming of the upright. It becomes the upright. There's a lifting of the countenance. There's a beauty of the Lord that comes to descend upon you. And you need it, and I need it, don't you? How many of you know you're a leaky bucket? You can pour out and all this stuff happen in the very next morning. You need Isaiah 12:3. For the Lord says, therefore I shall draw water from the wells of salvation. That the Lord is the well of salvation. We need him every morning. Somebody just elbow somebody says, you need another drink. Come on. You need to drink of the well of salvation. There's something about the fullness of the Lord that changes us on the inside. He gave us his nature. He gave us a new hope. He gave us a calling. He gave us capacities. And it is my hope today that you will hear and see. It doesn't matter the age. It doesn't matter if you've been around the Lord a long time, if you're a babe in the Lord. Wednesday night, the Lord gave me a sense to say to the people gathered there, it says, it doesn't even matter if you know me. I want to speak to you about your life because I want to show you I'm good. The Lord is the good God. I tell you, man, anytime you want to do something for God, there's another spirit that shows up. And it wants to make you feel like you're not enough and you never will be. But that's a work of hell. Because the truth is, the Lord has things, plans for you that nobody can stop. Let's praise the Lord. Nobody can stop them. Hey, if you're tired of starting over, quit stopping. If you're tired of starting over, quit stopping. Stay in. Go at it. Keep it up. Right? And we're being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, from one level of glory to another level of glory, to another level of glory, to another level of glory. God has a capacity to release his life through your life. And he wants to create joy through you, or create peace through you, or create freedom in the atmosphere around you. Create something of him in the lives of those around you to impact them for positive and for good. It doesn't matter how low you go. He will always bring you up. He's the resurrection and the life. This is who he is. Now, on a positive sense, this is the way to go. But on the negative sense, This is the way to go. And it happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to wallowing in her mire. How many of you done that? Come on. We've all done it. We've all done it. It's kind of like the guy, he says, that little life in five stages. You know, a guy's walking down the street and falls into a big hole. It takes him a long time to get out. Have you heard this? Guy walks down the street again, falls in the same hole, takes him a long time to get out. Have you heard that? How many of you have done that already? How about this? Number three, you walk up to the hole and you look at it for a while, then you fall in. Isn't it? And it takes a long time to get out. Then it comes to you, come up to the hole, and you go, I think I'm going to go around it. You go around. And number five, you just realize, I'm taking another street. I'm just going to take another street. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do this. You don't have to return to it. Now listen up to the next scripture here. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. There's a way out, you see, and it has to do with a person. And the person is the one who has created you and given you the capacity to be something you know down on the inside that you can become with His help. You need a group of people around you who believe that. You need some people around you. There may be some ties to cut. Get around people who actually lift up that good thing in you. Is that right? But there's a delighting that can happen in your own soul when you partner with the Lord. The Lord that says things to me, and like, I didn't even ever think. I mean, I thought, you know, I'm musical. I thought I would serve in some church, maybe playing my guitar and maybe joining along. I had no idea again. Have me do this. This was not like on my top list. I want to pastor a church. God says, you know what you're going to do? I said, what? He says, you're going to pastor a church. Me? How many of you feel like Gideon half the time? You know? Gideon is like, oh, mighty man of valor. He goes, who are you talking to? I'm not that guy. That's the guy. And God said, well, we're going to turn you into one. With me, he had to give me a good wife. It sure helps. I'll tell you that right now. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. He'll cause you to know the thing that you're about and to resonate. Doesn't mean there's not going to be a test or a challenge or all kinds of things get in the way of it. It's not the easy part. It's the fact is that it's worth fighting for, and it's worth going through the trials for. It's worth it. It's worth it. The Lord's going to let me know. He's going to let you know. The influence of your life. When you stand before Him. And there will be people that because you live the way you lived, and you shared the way you shared, and you gave the way you gave, that'll be in heaven because of you. And it will be worth it all. I want to go into the next part of the message here. It's got a little, on this next verse, I mean, the next slide, it shows. There's from Luke chapter 13, I have the small print there. The concept is repent or perish, and then it's in the passage here from verses 1 through 5. And then the main part we want to look at is Luke 13, 6 through 9. It's on the second part's on the back of your notes, but don't look at that yet. Let me go ahead and talk about the first part. The first part, Jesus is taking two contemporary situations. One of them, He's taking where Caesar persecuted some people, and the other one, a tower fell over. And basically, Jesus is saying, there's some people hanging around. They said they were present at this season who told Him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said, do you suppose these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? Were these people worse off because they suffered at the hand of somebody else? And Jesus basically says, no. They're not. I tell you no, but then He says this. This is amazing. Jesus says, they had some bad things happen to Him and some people do some stuff to Him, didn't they? He said, yeah. Was it because they were worse a sinner than you? He says, no. But then He adds this to it. He says, but unless you repent, you likewise will perish. That's pretty heavy. Then He talks about this tower. On those, there were 18 people whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them. A tragic thing. You know, there's 12 people, I think, that's already died from the floods in California. You could just put that in there. Say, are they worse sinners than you? I know some of you would go, well, they live in California. You know, I know, but you shouldn't do that because I live there and I know I'm the same. Were they worse sinners than us because of they died in a flood? No. But unless you repent, Jesus says, you likewise will perish. And it's in the context of repentance that this next passage, and he goes into this thought process. He says, this is the parable of the barren fig tree, and you have this on the back of your notes. He says, he also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. I want to just stop there and just say that the fig tree represents an individual soul, and the vineyard represents a group of the people of God. Okay? Now, it could be that the vineyard is the nation of Israel, because Jesus was talking then. But here's the deal. Jesus was talking to them, and you can take this concept of the nation of Israel because Jesus was there, because he says he comes seeking fruit on this fig tree and he doesn't find any fruit. And basically, there's not been any fruit. He says to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? And maybe Jesus could have been saying, look, I've been here 3 years in Israel. And you can go all over the map with that, because the Pharisees were just whitewashed sepulchers, wouldn't clean the inside of the cup, clean the outside of the cup. You know, you just got a religious environment and no real fruitfulness. You can have a leaf on a tree, but no fruit. You can even have a bud on a tree, but no fruit. And so he comes and he's expecting to find something, and it's not there. Right? Now, I know, because it's in the Bible, it's for you and it's for me. It's not just about Jesus and the time in Israel. It's about you and it's about me. And you are the fig tree. And some area in your life is unfruitful. Some area of your life has sat there and it's not produced, and we don't know where it's going. But I know this, it won't, unless you go forward, you will go backward. And he's saying, cut it down, get rid of it. And oh man, if that's the case, that's the fear. The fear of the Lord should just reverberate in your soul. If I don't get my act together, oh my God, I'll be cut off. Is that right? What area in your life has just not been fruitful? What area of your life that's just been, you've been stuck there. It's just never, never, never got going. You never got the traction in the Lord. This is what the Lord put on my heart today. Are you growing up or not? Are you moving forward or not? What's the vision? What's the plan? What's the goal? What's God doing with you? What's happening inside of you? How many of you have had areas where you go, man, I'm just struggling? Aren't you glad for the next verse? Yes. The next verse, we're intercepted. We're intercepted. And the next verse he says, sir, the keeper of the vineyard says, sir, let it alone this year also. Look at somebody and said, just give me a little more time. Until I dig around it and fertilize it. And this is where fill in the blanks come in. Give it more time. God has a solution if you're stuck. Give more time. How many even need some more time? More time. The Lord's gracious. He's going to give another year. Give more time. Number two, dig around beneath the surface. Roots beget fruits. I'm here to tell you, it's always what you don't see. It's always beneath the surface. It's always beneath the surface. Roots beget fruits. What's wrong with my life? Roots beget fruits. It's not them. It's what's going on beneath the surface in your own soul. What's clogging up? You know, when you dig down there, you find out other stuff has occurred. Is that right? And then it says, and nourish it. Nourish what has not been nourished. Before. That was the word before. Nourish what has not been nourished before. Can I tell you where a lot of this stuff happens? A lot of stuff happens when a need's not met. You have an expectation for something and it doesn't happen for you. And a need goes unmet. And what happens when that need goes unmet? Is that something else is clogged up. See, the fig tree represents the real person that's intended, but the real fruit of the real person can't happen because something is not being nurtured and nourished. How many of you have felt ashamed of your life before? I get right in the front of that line. You see, it wasn't there were certain areas where I had a lot of activity, but not really long-term fruit. Trying to be something so that people could see that I was better than what was really going on beneath the surface. Living more the outward thing, but not having the freedom on the inside. Desiring to be something more, but not knowing how I could get out of that. And I'm so sad that there's so much superficiality that goes on. It's just really, really bad that most people's answer is a self-help book. You can put all of the makeup on the pig you want. It's still a pig. The fundamental nature is still the same. You can dress it up. I lived in Round Rock, Texas, and they would have armadillo beauty contests. And they would, in addition to eating chilies, they'd have guys sitting there, and all of them, even the lady, eating chilies. See how many chilies you can eat before you pass out. And then I thought, this is really strange. And then the armadillo beauty contest. They came up with armadillos and they had rouge on them and eyelashes and oh my God. It's like, how do you judge that? Who can win? I don't know. How can you tell who would be prettier? It's just bizarre. I thought, what town do I live in? You can put anything on the outside, but it doesn't mean the inside's changed. You got to dig around. You got to get down in there and dig around. And it says the vine dresser comes, he starts digging around. And he says, there's something not right down here. There's bugs in here. There's bugs sucking the life out of it. There's other root system from another tree over in here. This thing is just eating the life out of it. Something's sucking everything. You don't even have a good root system. Something's wrong down here. We got to deal with this. We need to nourish it. Put some fertilizer in here. Get this other stuff out. Dig down. Break down in that fallow ground. There's people with such a hardness of heart, they don't even know what to do with themselves. They just walk around hard-hearted. That's it. I've always been hard-hearted. I'm planning to be hard-hearted till I die. That way nobody can break in and get to me. They can't hurt me because I'm unhurtable because I've been hurt, and so I just build up its wall. It's like a big brick and mortar job, and I'm in here, and you can't. I'm going to stay in here. It's my own prison. I made it myself. And then you say, "Jesus, I need you." Jesus has got a pole vault. And he comes in and goes, "Hey, how's it feeling here?" He says, "I'm really lonely. I'm really miserable. I don't have any friends. I just have a..." He says, "Let me go ahead and begin to dismantle this thing with you." And it's painful. It's painful because it's been built out of this wounding this year and that wounding this year and this wounding that year and what went wrong that year, and all, they're all stacked up there and all messed up. And you just, "I can't." Every time he takes one down, there's another gallon of tears. Is it right? But he says, "Let's give it a year and let's dig around. And we're going to get some fruit out of it. Yeah. Let's dig around a little bit. Let's put some fertilizer in it." Holy Spirit, you know, this whole idea of fertilizer. In the Latin... the Latin term for humility comes from humus, which is dead, something that's dead. Your best fertilizer is something that's dead. And the humus, you know what dies? Your effort to do it all on your own. Your effort that says, "I got to be the one to do everything all the time." Let me go ahead and tell you how that works out. You get diseases. You get tired and worn out. You end up not having anybody that can be around you because you're such a prickly pear. Well, I got some good news for you. We hug porcupines. How many of you have been a porcupine? Get close to my pain, I put out the quills. And the Lord says, "Let's dig around at the bottom of this tree and find out what's going on with the roots here, because something's not connecting and something's not, there's no fruit." It's the outward profession of fruit, but not the real profession of godliness. There's no life of godliness. There's not a life of, there's something's missing here. The love is not flowing. Something's not happening right. We need to put what needs... the needs around here. Now I want to shift gears just a little bit and talk about 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and 4. I didn't add this to it. Chapter 3 talks about Paul saying, your epistles that we've, not of ink, but of the Spirit of the Lord written in our hearts. And it says the Spirit gives life, but the letter kills. And it says what's happened is you've let go of those things that kill and you've come into life in Christ Jesus. Then he says this, and he says, now we have a capacity, a sufficiency has been given to us. It's not of ourselves. Right here it says, we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves or think anything of being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills and the Spirit gives life. And then he goes into this incredible concept about glory and a veil. Do you know the story when Moses went up to Mount Sinai? And he came down, and he'd been with God for 40 days, and his face was really, really bright. And he came down, and God said, "You speak to my people," and his face was so bright because he'd been in the presence of the glory. And so it was reflecting off of his face. And they said, "Go down and speak to the people." Well, it got to where he put a veil over his face so that the people wouldn't see because it was hard to look at him. It was so bright. Then that continued every time he went into the tent of meeting. He was with the glory of God. When he come out, his face would be lit up. So he put a veil over his face. And Paul takes this concept of the veil and he says, he flips it and he says, guess what's going on? To this day, when the law is read, when the word of God is read, there's a veil that comes over the nation of Israel and they can't see Jesus. He flips the concept. Do you want to see Jesus? He said, their minds are hardened. Their eyes are blinded. And then he goes on further. He says, they're blinded because there's a work of the devil. And the work of the devil keeps them from seeing the glory of who Jesus is. Now, the word veil is in there, or the word unveil or veil is in there about seven times. But there's another word in there. And he talks about him seeing the glory. And he says the glory of the Old Testament, or the glory that went by in the past, is not a greater glory. The glory that's come in Christ Jesus is a greater glory. And then he starts to cause you and me to participate in the glory. This is where he builds to that verse that says you go from glory to glory. But it doesn't happen if you don't see who Jesus is. And there are many people living substandard, and their next level never happens because they never see the Lord. They never see who He is. They see people like me or people that talk about the Lord, and they go, who are those idiots? And they call all kinds of names and stuff. But I have seen somebody. The veil has been lifted, and I see, and I've encountered who He is. And you can encounter who He is. And the Bible says how to. You know how to do it? Are you ready? There was a blind man in the Bible. His name was blind Bartimaeus. And he couldn't see. But he wanted to see. And if you want to see, you can do what blind Bartimaeus did. He cried out and said, Lord, have mercy on me. There's sometimes you don't have a clue what's going on, but you got to see what God has for you. And if you cry out in your heart, Lord, I want to see you, God's going to show up and show and cause you to see who He is. Hallelujah. One level of glory to another level of glory. It's all about seeing who Jesus is. I want to tell you something. It's a remarkable reality. The moment you see Jesus, you know who you are. The moment you see Jesus, you know who you are. When Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus immediately said, and you're Peter, you're a rock. He told him who he was on the basis of the revelation of who Jesus was in his life. Now, the Spirit of the Lord's in the room, and there's a spirit of revelation, but the Lord is saying, create a hunger in the heart for me. Some of you have had situation after situation after situation, and it seems like life is set to jeopardize where you're going. And it's a curse, and the Lord is breaking it, and it'll break today. Break it today. The Lord is the breaker of the thing that holds you back. But He calls you to rise up like blind Bartimaeus. I want to see. I want to see. I want to see. Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. He's stirring something in some of your hearts. Let's stand together. This time right here is for a response to what the Lord is saying to you. This time right here is not to say, oh, well, let me just bow out, because God's digging around the roots right now. And this is a time for your hunger to manifest and say, I want what Jesus wants for my life. I want more of Him in my life. I want who Jesus is. And there is a breaking of a curse. I don't know who this is all for. I just know there's something that keeps you going around and around. And you're not only tired of it, the Lord's tired of it. And He says, I'm going to uproot that. I'm going to release forgiveness, a fountain of forgiveness up out of your soul. I'm going to cause you to rise up and break those hidden things of shame. And be delivered and move out of that. Let's praise Him right now. Praise Him right now. Hallelujah. There's hope for you. There's hope for you. There's hope for you. There's hope for you. There's freedom for you. There's freedom for you. There's freedom. The Lord says, I'm going to take a little more time. We're going to work on some stuff. I'm going to cause a, and there's something of a, there's something of a nourishing that you haven't had. The Lord says, I'm breaking in to love you in a way that you're not used to being loved. You're going to have more love come out of heaven's throne into your soul, because he's going to nurture something in you to cause you to rise up and not go backwards like the dog, but move forward from glory to glory. I feel like there's a curse to be broken somewhere, and there's shame, to, like a veil of shame. This veil, God wants to take this veil and cause it to be moved from you so you can see who he is. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and we got plenty of time. Hallelujah. Plenty of time. As the Lord put my understanding, how many of you know that the Lord, there's seasons of disappointment that you go through. You know, just saying that out loud, I feel like it's melting. The Lord, there's ministry for you today. There's a release of things for you today. It's almost like you've been locked up like Lazarus in the tomb. And there's stuff that's been wrapped around your life. And Jesus has called your name. It's like he's saying, Lazarus, he's saying, your name. And you come out and you come down here and they say, we're going to unwrap you. We're going to take all the disappointments. We're going to take the shroud of death off your life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.